such because these are high pressure moments where other people in these moments, I mean, Jesus had something in him that caused him just to just handle it. Just handle it. This is what I do. You know what I mean? There's some guys that just got, this is what I do. There's one guy that plays basketball. He does like this because it's Dame time. I mean, it's my time. When it gets late time and give me the ball, it's my time. And he hit those big shots, you know, in the game. He's a clutch player. All right. Let's go to John 18. Let's look at this one. Now, this is 2024. Pastor Eben spending some time with some young people. This one is. Because in John chapter 18, Jesus was under extreme pressure in the garden because Jesus is about to carry the whole team, all mankind on his back, and carry the sin of all. And he knew what he was called to do in that moment, and the pressure of that moment was on him. He had just got up from praying and sweating great drops of blood, and he comes out, and here comes the soldiers. Look at verse 5. Verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" And they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said unto him, "I'm him. I'm the guy. I'm the one. I'm here. I'm ready." He was ready for the moment, and he had already rose up and like, "I'm ready to carry the team on his back." And he said, "I'm him. Let's do it. You talking to the man. I'm built for this moment." And he surrendered himself to that moment in a pressured situation. The disciples yielded to the pressure. They were sleeping and all that stuff, but Jesus rose up. And so I want to do is offer some practical things that I've learned of how to practice to perform under pressure. How to practice to perform under high pressure situations, because Jesus let us know that in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You know, if you're going to go around that circle of faith, you're going to come up against pressure. That's a part of it. It's a part of it. You're not going to avoid that part of it. This is not a, because we're in a world, the curse is in this world. There's an enemy while we're here, but he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemy. How much of a G you got to be to sit there and just be eating in the, like, where your enemies are like, I mean, that shows a level of confidence, comfortability, boldness for that moment. I'm not moved by what's going on around me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. Some people get so upset under pressure they can't even eat. But we've been built for moments like this. I wrote a song, and I'm not going to do the song, but I'm going to do the song. Meaning I'm not going to play no track. I just want to let y'all hear the lyrics. The song's called So Clutch. About Jesus. All right, this is how it goes. Everything was on the line. Satan had me in his clutch, but Jesus stepped in right on time. Yeah, he came through in the clutch. When it matters the most, we can all count on him and watch him carry us all as Jesus for the win, because he's that dude, face of the franchise. You put the ball in his hand. Oh, yeah, he's big time. Yeah, he's so clutch. Man, he's so clutch. Yeah, he's so clutch. He is so clutch. And he's that dude, face of the franchise. You can put your life in his hand. Oh, yeah, he big time. Man, he's so clutch. Man, he's so clutch. Man, he's so clutch. Man, he's so clutch. Every time I need him, man, he always, always come through. On time, crunch time. Who you think I'm going to? Down the stretch, he hit free throws. Stretched his arms, gave up the ghost. Thought they had him, but he rose to make my life like a cheat code, yeah. Every time it came down to the wire, my feet to the flames, he shows up like the fourth man in the flyer. He said, "I got this, only believe me." When my emotions feel that pressure, he still make it look so easy. We strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We can go all in with the Lord because it's a fixed fight. We got the victory. We always triumph in Christ. So when we down like Paul and Silas, he will deliver at midnight. And he don't operate on time, so forget the clock. He put the clamps on the enemy when we need to stop. And he can score from anywhere. He ain't got to pick his spots. Just cast all of your cares upon the Lord and let him hit the shot. Because he's that dude. Face of the franchise. You can put the ball in his hands. Oh, yeah, he big time. Man, he's so clutch. He's that dude. Face of the franchise. You can put your life in his hands. Oh, yeah, he big time. Jesus is so clutch. Everything was on the line. Satan had me in his clutch. But Jesus stepped in right on time. Man, he came through in the clutch. When it mattered the most, we can all count on him and watch him carry us all. It's Jesus for the win. Jesus is so clutch, amen? Jesus is so clutch. Hallelujah. So let's go to James chapter 1. Whatever we need in the moment, in the most challenging moments of our lives. So this is the thing you got to understand. There's shaking going on. And when there's shaking going on, you feel the shaking too. Even though you can't be shaken, you feel the shaking too. You know, Jesus talked about the house that was built on a rock. When the storm came, the house that was founded on the word, that house didn't move, right? That house was founded. Either storm, the same rains came, the same wind blew, but something about that house, it was founded on something different and it didn't move. In that pressured moment, in that situation of the storm, that house was solid. That's us. We live our lives on the book, don't we? We built our lives upon this, didn't we? Ain't this the guide that we use to direct our lives? Don't we live by the word? Well, then we're built for challenging and clutch moments. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get to James chapter 1. I told you how I do. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all know this verses. Verse 2, James chapter 1. Y'all there say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, testings, trials, challenging times, right? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Now, we can go through that whole chapter, but let's go down to verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. When you endure those pressured moments, when you endure temptation, you stand, there's a crown of glory. There's a victory. There's a championship. There's something on the other end of you being built for that clutch moment, right? And so we don't want to be streaky players. We don't want to have these moments where everything's going great, but other moments where it's not going so great. In basketball, there's some shooters that are what they call streaky shooters. I mean, when they hot, they are hot. They gonna make everything. But then the next game, they might miss everything. I wasn't gonna say no names. Yeah, there was one guy who has a game. Did he score 40 points in one quarter, Isaac? Did he have a 40-point quarter? 38 points in one quarter. Two dribbles, right? Two dribbles the whole quarter. He was just a shooter. So he come off the pick, get in position, they pass him the ball. I mean, and he scored 30-something points that quarter. Well, the last week or whenever, they needed a win to continue in the playoffs, and he went, 0 for 10? Streaky. You understand what I'm saying? That's not how we want to live our faith life. We don't want to be where we have these seasons where it's just like victory after victory after victory after victory, and then we got these other seasons where it seems like nothing's going right. We're supposed to have a level of consistency. And no matter what the season is, right? So we want to be consistent, not streaky. And your ability to perform will never consistently exceed your level of preparation. You might have a moment where you do great on winging it, but you won't consistently be able to do that without some preparation. And so we got to practice to be able to perform under pressure. And so let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17 before we get to these points. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is David being faced with Goliath. Goliath has been running his mouth. He's got the whole army scared of him. And here's little David. You know, he just pop in on the scene like, what's this? What's going on? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he's defying the armies of the living God? He's appalled. But that, like, what's going on? So he said, I got him. I'll fight him. And Saul's like, I don't know, man. You know, he said, man, look, God will be with me. I defeated the lion. I got some experience seeing God show up in these moments. Clutch moments. When I needed God to show up, he'll show up on this one too. Okay, so let's look at it in verse 39. Saul's going to allow him to do it, and then it's what he did. Well, let's go to verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, put a helmet of brass on his head, and armed him with a coat of mail. And in verse 39, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I can't use this. I haven't practiced with this. I'm going to go with what I've been practicing with. I'm going to go with what I know I can do. You see what I'm saying? And in pressure moments, that's not there was one guy years ago I was watching who was teaching on playing the drums. He said the number one thing about being able to be successful in your time is you don't play when you're practicing. That means you take your practice time serious and you don't practice while you're playing. When you're in a real gig or a real situation, that's not time to try out the new thing that you ain't worked on. So when you're in practice, be serious about working on some stuff while you're in practice. And when you're in a real situation, when you're playing a song or you're doing a show or something, don't be playing around during that moment. I mean, don't be practicing something new. Do what you already got in your tool bag at that stage. So this is how we should be in our lives. But if we don't have anything that we've worked up or we practice, then we're not going to be ready. So the first thing that we want to practice, number one, is practice having a strong spirit. You want to practice having a strong spirit. Well, practice accessing grace is number one, because these ain't in no particular order, I go to practice accessing grace. Whatever. Practice accessing grace. Let's practice accessing grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. How do you practice accessing grace? You learn to say yes to stretching things. You have to have a I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me type of mentality. Because there's going to be, in a really high pressure situation, you're going to be stretched. And if you haven't practiced being stretched and accessing grace in a stretch, then you're going to be overwhelmed in the stretch. And so you have to practice accessing grace. On purpose, accessing grace. There'll be times when there's a need that you see that you can fulfill, but you don't really have all the ability. You may not feel like the best qualified, but you're available and you say, I'll do it. And you practice accessing the grace to do it. I told y'all this. I just led praise and worship tonight. When Pastor asked me to start being on the rotation for leading praise and worship, I was stretched. I don't feel like that's something I'm good at. You know what I'm saying? But there's a grace. When there's a need, there's a grace. And you learn how to access the grace. And if I can learn how to access the grace in a situation like that where it's not really, it's pressure, but it's not pressure like a life-threatening thing or, you know, this is going to determine the future of my child or, you know, or nothing like that. I mean, it's not that type of situation. It's just a little pressure. But if I can learn how to access the grace in that, then when I'm in those pressure situations and moments, I have experienced accessing grace. And so it's not going to be hard for me to do. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. When you are in challenging situations, you will experience weakness. Sometimes it may be physical weakness and fatigue. Just that thing try to come on you. Mental weakness. It's a time of weakness, but there's also a time of grace. And look what he says. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses and pressure, challenging, high pressure moments for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So the grace of God, we know, is God's ability that comes on our ability. We're not in it by ourselves. So God is helping us in moments where we are weak. When we come to the end of ourselves, that's when we come to, now we meet where God's strength and ability comes on. His super comes on our natural. It's going to always be there. When you are doing something that God has directed you to do, or you've taken a stand in a position as the head of your house or whatever the case may be, there will be times where you are at the end of yourself. You feel weak. You don't feel like you got the ability, but there's a grace that's available. And if you practice accessing that grace to do things that you may not feel are natural for you to do, you learn how to tap into and access a supernatural ability to do it, to advance the kingdom or whatever. So when you're in those moments, you know it's the same process. We access his grace by faith. Pastors talked about in prayer time. Sometimes, I mean, the main thing you got to do is just get up and take those first couple steps, get it going, get the motor running, and next thing you know, the grace of God shows up. But you access the grace by faith. And faith, without works, is dead. So sometimes you got to just step into it. You just got to step into it and let the grace of God flow. But we got to practice that if we're ever going to be good at it. You're never going to get good at something you don't practice. All right? Let's go to the next one. What's number two? Well, practicing peace. Did you have practicing having a strong spirit? Okay. Practice peace. Let's practice peace. practice having a strong spirit at the end if you didn't have it. All right. Practice peace. How do you practice peace? All right. There's something that I do that I know that as a part of my personality, I know sometimes it stretches people. Okay? No, I'm serious. I know sometimes it stretches people, but it helps me. Okay? And that is, I don't rush. I don't ever get in a hurry, because I would rather bring peace to a storm than come bringing the storm. And I found that if I hurry or I rush to get to something, then I'm there, but I'm not in a position to do anything. So I keep my peace and I go. Pastor Elizabeth has shared the testimony about one of the boys that was having trouble breathing and how she maintained peace. She didn't get in a rush. She didn't freak out. She maintained her peace so she can tap into the wisdom, because when you are frantic in a moment, you're not in a position to be the solution. Jesus was asleep on that pillow and he came and brought peace to that storm. If Jesus was freaking out like them, there wasn't nothing he would have been able to do for that storm. And so Jesus, when Lazarus was sick and died, it said that when Jesus finally came, he had been 4 days. And Mary and Martha, they freaked out. If you would have been here, you know, this wouldn't happen, all this kind of stuff. But I'm here now. You know what I'm saying? And he came and he took care of that situation because he brought peace. Now, his emotions still were affected by the situation. Jesus wept. Well, yeah. Right? But he practiced peace. Now, did Jesus, do you ever see Jesus rushing around to do anything? Now, this is something I practice. It's something I've learned. I understand. It might stretch some people, but we all have things about our personalities and temperaments that stretch people. They are valuable in certain moments, and other moments they are stretched. Pastor Ed is not here, but I'm gonna pick on Pastor Ed. There are times where I've asked Pastor Ed. I said, Pastor Ed, where is this thing? And he'll say, if you go to this first row on the far right side, right underneath the seat, about 4 or 5 inches below, is a bag there. Okay. And in the bag, there's 3 pockets. There's a big pocket on this. You know what I mean? He'll go through all this. Not on the left-hand side, but it's like a card holder thing there. And slightly next to that, there's, if you reach down in there, you'll feel it. I'm like, you just said it's in the front of my bag under my seat, and I would have been there. You see what I'm saying? But there's also times where we're on an RVN trip, and it's like, hey, if anybody got to go to the bathroom, if we don't stop at this Cracker Barrel, it's going to be another, we're going to have a rest area in 2 miles. I'll pull over at that rest area. If not, it's going to be another 20-something miles before there's another exit. Pastor Ed know that kind of stuff, and he explains that kind of stuff, and it's valuable. If I'm flying in an airplane, I don't mind Pastor Ed being my pilot because I know every check is going to be bang, bang. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there are times when that kind of stretch you a little bit, but that thoroughness is valuable in other moments, okay? And so practice peace. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. I'll get here, and when I get here, I'll be in peace about it. And so I'm gonna explain this because there are times when something's going on in the media or something. I just can't go run. I just if I go run and I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna be up there and I'm like, okay, so I'm gonna walk. You see what I'm saying? I'm gonna walk calmly, and when I get there, I got the solution. You see what I'm saying? That's how it works for me. I've learned how to maintain my peace. Now there's nothing wrong with having a sense of urgency. I'm not talking about that. But this scripture says in Philippians chapter 4, okay, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. That word careful could be translated anxious. In some translations it is. Anxious. People have an anxiety attack because they're overwhelmed by, oh my God, this might, you know what I mean? And if I just can't operate like that. I'm saying, but I've learned how to pace myself in a way that I can maintain my peace. So when I'm there, I'm ready to go. You see what I'm saying? So I'm gonna say this again. For me, I practice this because I'd rather bring peace into a storm than come storming in and everybody else like, what's wrong with him, bro? Because I'm all worked up and now I'm affecting the atmosphere. That don't work for me. So there's a guy who plays football. His name is Evan McPherson. He's a kicker for the Cincinnati Bengals. And a couple years ago when they went to the Super Bowl, he was talking about how, you know, he was a rookie that year, and he had made a bunch of big kicks, long kicks, but he really in his high school and college career never had to make a game-winning kick, never had to kick in really high-pressure situations. So he began to train with like a smartwatch on, and set it to where it primarily checked his heart rate, and I forgot what he said he was doing, but whenever he would go to kick, if it got beyond a certain point, he did something to bring himself back down because he always wanted to kick cool. Because when he got in those moments, he didn't want to be frantic, worked up. So he practiced keeping his heart rate low and in a calm place so he can hit kicks. And that year, I mean, he hit a couple game winners on that helped the Bengals make it to the Super Bowl that year. So, you know, if he hadn't prepared for those moments, he wouldn't have been ready for those moments. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. We have to practice accessing grace, and we have to practice peace. Where I say go? Proverbs 16. Let's look at verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. Sometimes being able to rule your spirit, let the fruit of peace rule in moments and situations. This is something you can practice. You can practice this when you put something in the microwave and you forgot to go get it. That feeling of, oh my God, I forgot to, you know what I mean? Just, you know what I mean? I'm just going to go get it and practice maintaining your peace while you go get it. You see what I'm saying? I'm sure there's all kinds of situations we can think of. But be purposeful about not being anxious. Not being anxious. That's the thing. Because there's no faith in that. You know, there's nothing wrong with calling people, asking for prayer. But, oh my God, can you pray for us? We got not, you know what I mean? Practice peace. All is well, all right? John chapter 16. I quoted this earlier, but let's look at it. Because there's power in this. Power in looking at it. Power in seeing it. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 33. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you that you might have what? Peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. All right? You're going to have challenging moments. You're going to have pressured moments, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Everything that I said, he said, I said it so that you can have peace. Don't let nothing disturb your peace. Practice having peace. So then when you're in a moment, you get a phone call or whatever the situation happens, you've practiced maintaining your peace. And so you can hear from God and you can move in that situation. All right. Let's go to the next one. I let media tell me what the next one is. Number three. Practice encouraging yourself. All right. You got to rehearse all the good things that God has done. Not just because you have to, just because, you know, rehearse the good things that God has done. I was talking to the kids on Sunday. When I was leading praise and worship on Sunday, I was happy. I was just thankful. I just got happy and thankful for just being saved. Like, you know what I mean? Just the fact that I'm saved. You know what I mean? I just, the joy rose up in me as I was rehearsing, you know, the good things that the Lord has done for us. But let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Y'all know this scripture. High pressure situation. 1 Samuel. Look. Turn to the scriptures. Chapter 30. Say hallelujah when you're there. We know what's going on. Is the David and his men came back from, you know, they just got done. I mean, they were victorious. They came back. They expecting to come home, hug on the family, you know, get some rest and relaxation. They get home and everything's a mess. Things burned down. Wives, children gone. And on top of that, if we look at verse 6, David was greatly distressed. Well, understandable, right? But look at this. The people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. It's his fault. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be in this situation. This is where everybody was at, okay? Every man for his son and for his daughters. But what did David do? David encouraged himself in the Lord. David, I don't know exactly what that looked like for David, how he encouraged himself in the Lord, but I'm telling you, You got to rehearse. You got to practice rehearsing the good things that God has done. The good thing. You got to practice rehearsing how good God is. And just because, not because you're in a situation where you need to. There was one time when me and my wife, we needed to, and we were being pressured. We was up in the upper room. I don't know if you remember this. And we were thanking God that, you know, for the Hebrew children, you know, that didn't bow, you know what I'm saying? And they made it through the furnace. We was thanking God that the Red Sea parted. We was thanking God because in our situation, it was hard for us to think of something to be thankful for in our situation. And that's okay, you know what I'm saying? But when you've practiced just rehearsing the good things, you know, pastor don't have to work hard to share his testimony. He shares so much that it's just like, it's like subconscious almost probably. You know what I'm saying? When he's talking about how he's a 14-year drug addict, locked up 20 times, looking at 21 years of the penitentiary. That's just because he's practiced sharing that. You know what I'm saying? This is what we want to be about, the good things that, like, just begin to just thank God, rehearse, tell people on a regular basis all the good things that God has done for you. So then when you're in a pressured moment and it's hard for you, because what happened? Let me tell you what happens. When you're at a perfect peace situation, your thoughts and your feelings are kind of at a level place. You can think and feel kind of equally. When pressure rises up or something happens, your emotions seem bigger and your ability to reason and process goes down. Sometimes your soul shuts down. In really extreme high pressure situations, your soul goes to a bypass mode and your spirit, whatever in your spirit, is going to be there. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to have our spirits ready, and I'm jumping to my last point, so I ain't going to go there. Right now, we're practicing encouraging ourselves. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. This is my last point now. It was my first one originally. These are in no particular order, but, you know, you might. So this is the thing. There are athletes who, you know, when they're looking about how can I be better, they're what you do is you really hone in and practice the things that you're less good at. You know what I'm saying? If you want to keep sharp the things that you are good at, but to improve, you got to practice what you're not good at. And so there may be something, you know, in the list here that may just trickle out. That's something I could work on. I can be better at that. And we practice that so that we're in a better situation with it. So Isaiah chapter 12, look at verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Learning how to tap into and encourage yourself and rejoice and go down with a bucket and pull from the wells of salvation. There's something, because it's going to be down in you in a high pressure situation, but you got to learn how to draw it out because your soul ain't going to want to draw it out. So you have to practice going down there and pulling up from that well. You see what I'm saying? And causing that thing to spring up, you got to practice it sometimes so that you know how to tap the well, because there's something down in there. I know it's down in there, and you just learn how to tap it. Amen. So first we said what? Practice accessing grace. Then we practice peace, practice encouraging ourselves. What's the next one? I think I see what we did. We just took strong spirit. I practice being uncomfortable. Oh, Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. You have to practice being uncomfortable. Let me say something. It's not comfortable when you've been threatened. I can tell you this. It wasn't a good feeling. It wasn't a comfortable moment when letters came talking about, yo, you got to do something where, you know, we're going to shut your water off in the church. That's not that try to mess with you. It's not comfortable when you're in situations and you get a report. You're not going to be in a feel good, comforting feeling. So if all you are ever used to is I made a post on Facebook, and I'll go ahead and say this now. I said one of the reasons some people struggle to connect with God in challenging and difficult times is because they usually start prayer, study, and worship time by going to the most cozy space in the house and getting in the most comfortable position with their favorite soft blanket. If every time you are used to connecting with God, you're in the most comfortable situation ever, then when you're in a most comfortable, when you're not in a comfortable situation, it's like, I don't know how to connect with God in that moment because I'm not used to that. I'm only used to being able to connect with God when everything is just perfect and my coffee's the exact right temperature and the room's the exact right temperature and the music's the exact perfect volume. You know, but there'll be times when you don't have that. You'll be in a hospital waiting room and you got to learn how to connect to God in that moment with pressure on your soul. You see what I'm saying? So you have to practice. Sometimes you have to practice connecting with God in moments that are not comfortable. All right. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, there's some scripture on this. And it's not just about whether you're going to fall asleep or not, you know, because you're comfortable. I'm just talking about being able to, in your soul, you know, be able to access the wisdom of God, hear the voice of God, you know, be able to connect with God in a moment where you need to. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let's look at verse 27. Paul, the apostle, said, "But I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Other translations say it different ways. I sent the NLT translation, and it says, "I discipline my body like an athlete, training it in what it should do. Otherwise, I fear after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." I practice this discipline like an athlete will put him or herself in strenuous situations in order to practice for those moments in the game. Because you know why they run a lot in practice? Because there's going to come a time in the game where you're tired. And you still got to be able to perform tired. So we're going to run and we're going to run hard until you're tired. Now let's practice. Because if we don't ever do this, then you're going to get in the game and you're not going to be able to perform because you're not used to performing tired. You're not going to be used to performing and pressing pass under fatigue. So they put themselves purposely in those situations. And so they're prepared for those moments in the game. For the moment where it's just one, I need one more big play. I need one more. I got to dig in and I got to be able to perform just one more time. You see what I'm saying? They got to have something in them and they got to have practiced it to be able to do it. David would not have been able to face Goliath had he not practiced. The lion and the bear was practiced. You understand what I'm saying? That was his preparation for the moment he was in. And if you have served God for any amount of time, you know that where you are today, you can look back and see God was preparing me for this then. God was preparing me for that when I didn't like being in that job, but I learned this at that job, so now I'm able to do this thing. If I hadn't had that experience, I wouldn't be ready for the door that opened up for me. You see what I'm saying? So there's this preparation, all right? Go to Psalm 69. Psalm chapter 69. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Psalm 69. Let's look at verse 10. He said, "When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach." I chastened my soul with fasting. Fasting is you're on purpose denying comfortability of your flesh. You understand what I'm saying? Your flesh is hungry. Your flesh wants to eat. Your flesh wants your own purpose saying, no, flesh. Because there's going to be a time where you're going to have to stay up 24 hours to handle a situation. There may be a time where you're going to have to go without a meal. There's going to be times where in situations and circumstances that will force you into a pressure moment. And if you're not used to that, if you've never practiced that, you won't be good at it. Let me tell you something. There are unique situations in games. In football, there are some unique situations. We're down by 4 points. We got this many yards to go. We got no time, and they have practiced a play that they haven't ran all season, but every practice they go over that play, just in case we get in a situation. And so now that we're in a situation, we're going to call this play that we have never done in a game, but we practice it just for this moment. And it'd be powerful. You'd be saying like, man, how they know? But they were preparing for a potential scenario. So we have to be prepared for all kinds of scenarios that life will bring. And if we don't practice to be prepared for those scenarios, somebody invites me to preach and they put you in the Jackson Inn. Y'all don't know what Jackson Inn is. We've been to the Jackson Inn. That's when you go to Pasadena's place. That's the only hotel around. It's not the most comfortable, nicest hotel. I'm just going to say it, okay? You have to cast down bed bugs and everything else. I mean, it's just, you know what I mean? I don't know if they got bed bugs, but it looks like it can. You know what I'm saying? And if you still got to get up and pray because you still got to go minister and do whatever you got to do. So you got to learn how, okay, I'm not in the most comfortable situation. I ain't got the nice greenery and the water that I can see or whatever, you know what I mean? But I still got to be able to connect with God because I still got to go out and do, you know what I'm saying? So I might have mentioned this before. I'm sorry, I heard it. Can't remember which man of God it was that said he stood on the edge of his bathtub when his flesh. Was that Brother Jerry? Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry. Yeah, stood on the edge of that. Okay, flesh. If you want it, that's going to be the last time. You won't do that again. Because if you sleep now, you're going to remember this moment. All right? You know, giving God a sacrifice of praise. Like, if you purpose, like, regardless, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go up front, and I'm gonna praise God, or I'm gonna dance. You see what I'm saying? On purpose. You're not under pressure. I'm just making a decision. I'm gonna do that. Because let me tell you that one of the things that the corporate atmosphere does help us in our praise and worship. But in general, you bring what you've experienced or what you do experience in your own time. You know what I'm saying? And so you're not going to come from, like, if you don't practice that at home, like, you're not going to come in and just be the most free, you know what I'm saying, in your praise and worship. But there are some times where that liberty is contagious and you tap into the liberty and you go into another place. But you can make a decision, like, you know, I may not feel really excited this morning. I don't feel down, but I may not just feel really excited, but I'm on purpose, just let it rip. You know what I mean? Just to practice it. So when you're in a moment where you really need to and you don't feel like it, you've practiced doing it before without feeling like it. You know what I mean? So it's just practice, sometimes being uncomfortable. All right? What's the next one? I think I know what it is. What y'all think it is? The next one, I think it's practice prioritizing your faith. Years ago, when I first came to the church, I had a bunch of things that was going on. And I went to pastor and I was like, I'm praying about this and about this and about this and about this. He said, hold on, Eric. Let's be selective to be effective. What's the most important thing? All right, let's handle that one. All right, let's work on that one, and let's get that. Because what happens is, if you don't prioritize things, then you are spreading your faith so thin that nothing is real. It's like if it, faith is currency in the kingdom. And you spend faith. It takes faith to get certain things. And I don't take as much as we think it do sometimes, but it does take faith. And so if I'm saving for a trip, and I'm saving for a car, and I'm saving for this, and I'm saving to do this, and I'm saving for that, like, it's going to take you a long time to get your money right for any of it. Or you could just say, you know, I'm going to go ahead and save for this car. And I'm going to save up, and I'm going to get the car, and then I'm going to save up. You can actually have a car while you're saving up for the other things. Or you can just, you know, slowly do all this and have none of it, but eventually you'll get it, you know what I mean? But you can be selective and target all of it towards that. Get that? You see what I'm saying? And this is what we want to be in our faith, because one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 2,000 to flight, 10,000 to flight. So if it's that way in agreement with another person, is it possible that it's that way with us, that our own faith, instead of spreading our faith here, and all these things, like if we're targeted, it multiplies and helps us get to that thing quicker. You see what I'm saying? Bring that thing in quicker. All right, so prioritizing our faith. Luke chapter 10. Y'all know the scripture too. You got to practice this, because there'll be situations where it feels like all hell broke loose. Everything messed up. And so you're trying to take care of everything at once, and you can't. Okay, what's the number one thing? Let me take care of that. I'll get that taken care of, and then I'll take care of this. You see what I'm saying? By learning how to prioritize your faith on purpose, so that when you're in moments where there's multiple things, you're being faced with various temptations, right? Different trials and testings that you're able to target your faith. Okay, which one of these I'm going to handle first? You see what I'm saying? And so in Luke chapter 10, y'all know the scripture. This I'm just showing you that there can be prioritizing in our life. Verse 40. Martha was cumbered about with serving, much serving. She was doing all kinds of stuff. Okay, she wasn't just cooking beans. She was cooking beans. She was cleaning. She was folding the clothes. She was trying to get everything done, and she was getting overwhelmed. Okay, and she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister left me here to serve alone? Make her come and help me." And Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." Now, we understand that one thing that Mary chose was the word, but I want you to understand she was cumbered about many things, and he said one thing is needful. So there was a need for her to prioritize on one thing, not be focusing on all these many things, but what's the one thing that needs to be taken care of right now? What's the one thing that's really important right now? Learning how to prioritize that. Proverbs chapter 24. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be ready. Man, I'm telling you, clutch. Clutch, saints. Ready for whatever situation. Whatever we come up against, whatever we face. Who's our example? Jesus. Jesus was clutch, man. He was clutch. He was a clutch performer. There was never a situation where he was put into that was so much pressure that he just lost it. No, he handled it. He tapped into the wisdom in the moment. He knew exactly what to do. He knew what to say. He knew how to operate. Just divine wisdom, just bam, you know. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27. Prepare your work without and make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterwards build your house. So this could have been a situation where somebody is trying to do both or trying to do all these things. No, let's break some priority. Okay, let's do this and then do this. What's going to be the most? You have to be selective to be effective. Pastor Elizabeth say, divide and conquer. You can't do it all at once, but what can we do right now? Let's do that. And once we got that, now we can go to the next thing. And you're being little by little. That's what he said in Exodus 23:30. Put that on the screen. You don't have to turn there. Exodus 23:30. He said that God told him, we're going to drive them out. We're going to give you the land, these people. But he said it's going to be done little by little, and little I will drive them out before you until you be increased and inherit the land. So he told them, they ain't all going to be gone at once. We're going to take this one. We're going to establish ourselves there. Then we're going to take that, and we're going to establish ourselves there. Then we're going to get them out of there and the land that they had. We're going to establish ourselves there little by little. We're not going to be the lottery winner that loses it all because we don't know how to handle it. You see what I'm saying? But God will increase you and accelerate your learning on how to handle this stage, and then let's go to the next. But we can't spread ourselves so thin that every bite we take is like, is there any peanut butter on this? It's on there. It's just spread so thin, you know, that you can't taste it. No, I want to taste it when I take a bite. You see what I'm saying? She felt something on that peanut butter over there. Amen. All right, let's go to the next one. So we want to practice. What did we say was first? Practice delegating. Practice delegating. Listen, just because God called you to do it doesn't mean he called you to do it by yourself. Look at Numbers chapter 11. This is something Pastor Eric had to practice a little more. This one right here, boy. I can get more done if I didn't try to do it all myself. You see what I'm saying? Numbers chapter 11. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at verse 14. Numbers 11, verse 14. Say hallelujah when you're there. Hallelujah. All right. He said, I'm not able to bear this people alone because it's too heavy for me. And if you deal thus with me, kill me. This is Moses. If you deal thus with me, kill me, I pray you, out of hand, if I have found favor in your sight, and let me not see that my wretchedness. And the Lord said to Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there, and I will put and take of the spirit which is upon you and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you bear it not yourself alone. You're trying to do too much. And so there'll be times when there's a lot of things that have to be handled. And if you're not used to saying, hey, can you handle this? Let's say, for instance, let me see. Elder, pastor says, this year for Can Camp Meeting, I want you to take care of all the food. You're overwhelmed all of a sudden because I don't know how to do all it, and it's a lot. Okay, Ms. Denise, don't you take, it takes a team to get that accomplished. If Ms. Denise tried to do that all by herself, it would be very, very hard, maybe impossible. You know what I mean? But because of delegation, we can have different, you work on the potato salad, you bake the pie, you set the table. Now we got a team working, right? And now the work can get done. Because I'm not overwhelming myself with I got to do everything. You see what I'm saying? Because when the pressure's on in the moment, if you used to just trying to do everything and handle everything for yourself, we never practice asking somebody for help here, asking somebody if they can do this. Then when you're under the pressure, you are overwhelmed, you're frantic. I don't know what to do. And the people are like, why didn't you ask for help? I'm not used to asking for help. You know what I mean? So practicing delegation is one of the ways to help you handle high pressure moments, right? Because there'll be times where you're going to need to reach out to people to assist you. When Stephen was born, he came quickly. Behold, he came quickly. Yeah, I was in peace. Go to Exodus chapter 18. And we called Pastor Desnor and said, hey, man, we ain't going to have time to bring the kids. Like, could you come to the hospital and take care of the kids for us? Suddenly, you know what I mean, in the middle of the night. And he came and got them. You see what I'm saying? Instead of trying to figure out, like, you know what I mean, like, I need help. I don't know. I need help. We need help because this is happening now. Like, you know what I mean? Sometimes you got to reach out and get help. So Exodus chapter 18. And what I'm saying is there may be situations where you can handle it. But just as a practice, I'm going to practice getting somebody else involved so that I know what that's like. I know what it's like surrendering some of the, like, because this is the thing. You can delegate authority. You can't delegate responsibility. Let me say it again. You can delegate authority, but you can't delegate responsibility. If Pastor Phillips comes to me and he says, Eric, I want you to turn all the chairs from the sanctuary facing this way to facing that way. Okay? Yes, sir. And then I say, Isaac, man, can you turn all the chairs around? I've delegated him a responsibility to do it. But if it don't get done, Pastor ain't going to Isaac and saying, why ain't the chairs done? He gonna come to me and say, what happened? You see what I'm saying? Because even though I can delegate the authority to do it, I can't give him the responsibility. It's not his responsibility. That responsibility was mine. You see what I'm saying? And so sometimes our pride and other things stops us from allowing us to, like, let somebody else do it because, you know, nobody ain't gonna make me look bad, or, you know, whatever the case may be of why it's hard to do more delegation, you know what I'm saying? Or nobody does it as good as me, or nobody can do it like me. But still, there's times you got to practice that, because there's going to be situations where you can't handle everything. You know what I'm saying? And you need to know how to ask for help. You understand what I'm saying? It's something the Lord told me years ago. He said, you're not in trouble when you need help. You're in trouble when you need help and don't get it. And so there have been times where I was needing help and I didn't want to ask for help. You see what I'm saying? And I wasn't in trouble in that moment, but you get in trouble when you need the help, but you don't reach out to nobody for it. And then everything goes haywire. You see what I'm saying? All right. Exodus chapter 18. Y'all got a couple more minutes because we got to get to our last point, don't we? The first shall be last. Exodus chapter 18. I hope that one or more of these minister to you. Exodus 18, verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what are you doing to the people? Why do you sit there by yourself alone? And all the people stand by you from morning to evening. And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people are all coming to me, right, to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them to know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses, his father-in-law, said unto him, that's not good. See, what you're doing is not good. You will surely wear away. Are you going to wear yourself out doing that? Both you and this people that is with you, for this thing is too heavy for you, and you're not able to perform it yourself alone. Hearken now to my voice, and I'll give you counsel, and God shall be with you. Be thou for the people to Godward, that you may bring the causes to God. And you shall teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherewith they must walk and work that they must do. Moreover, you shall provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such of them over to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter that they shall bring unto you but the small matters they shall judge, so that it be easier for yourself and you'll be able to bear the burden. Delegating. He was saying you are trying to do too much for yourself by yourself. That's not good. You might be able to handle it now, but you're going to wear yourself out doing that. So he was saying, let's go ahead and put in place, train them how to do it, and they can handle the small stuff, and you just handle the big stuff so that it's easier on you. So when you get in a pressure situation, you by delegating and asking for help and getting people to assist, it's going to be easier on you. One time, we moved, and we were on an RVing trip, and I came home, and my whole house was moved. Remember that, babe? And decorated. The guys and the girls came, and they moved the whole house. Amen. You know what I mean? Because the pressure, I was feeling pressure of, like, you know, I got to go on a trip, but we got to be out, and you know what I mean, all this kind of stuff. And people stepped up. I don't think I delegated that. I think people just was like, man, we'll help. We got you. We got you. Don't worry about it. And it was beautiful. Amen. All right. Last but not least, practice having a strong spirit. Practice having a strong spirit. Pastor Philip took a group of us, and I mentioned this before. I know he's done it a couple times, but we were at Cracker Barrel, and he was giving us just some little wisdom pointers about ministry and things like that, because ministry is pressure. You have to be able to perform under pressure in ministry, because you could have just got the worst message or the worst thing. Like, if I could have found something crazy out, you know, but I'm scheduled to lead praise and worship. So I can either break down, I can't do it, somebody else got to lead, or I can just get up, you see what I'm saying, under pressure and still, you know what I'm saying? When I say perform, because I'm talking about praise and worship, I ain't talking about put on a show. I'm talking about be able to stand in and act in the way you're supposed to act in a high-pressure moment, right? So that's a normalcy for ministry. There will be things that try to hit ministers' souls. You know, that's why we pray for our leaders, because you don't know, like, some of the stuff that they are pressing past, and nobody expects David to be the one that's all tore up. You see what I'm saying? We come into him and we expect him to have the answers. Men of God, your family is expecting you to be able to still hear from God and still lead the family, no matter how much pressure the situation is. And so, you know, we look to our leaders the same way. You know, something's going on, we all going through it, but for some reason we expect them to just be able to just handle it. So there's pressure under that. So he was giving us pointers to be ready for ministry and things that we need to learn. You know, he talked to us about not being in competition, you know, that kind of stuff. But one of the things he said to one of the guys, he said, if I told you was preaching on Friday night, what would you do? You know, I'll get praying, you know, studying, fasting. He said, well, live your life like that. Live your life like that. Don't wait until you get a demand put on you, and then you're going to press in. Press in. Because if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. This is what this is one of the things he gave us a pointer on. And he said, you gotta practice being instant in season. Because there may come a time, we're on a Sunday morning, Pastor Phillip say, Eric, you're preaching on Tuesday. You see what I'm saying? And you got to be able to tap into it and access it. Now, I taught a class at jail today. I didn't cancel that. You see what I'm saying? I ministered on Sunday afternoon to the kids. Like, I still did the stuff that I had scheduled to do. You see what I'm saying? But because of that, like, you got to learn how to practice staying ready. You know what I'm saying? If your whole life has to change, and I've done that for many years, you know, I'm asked to preach, and I'm taking 3 days off work. You see what I'm saying? And I'm going to pray and fast and stuff. But that's not going to always be available. You see what I'm saying? To do that. And so if you practice pressing in and practice being prepared, then when the situations arise, you're ready. You see what I'm saying? So that's practice having a strong spirit. What scripture do I have? All right, go to Proverbs 18. We almost there, guys. Proverbs 18, and let's look at verse 14. I'm at 17. I'm like, that on the page. All right. Verse 14 says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" How do we strengthen ourselves spiritually? Just, you know, the things that we know. You know, pastor said, word, prayer, church. Those three things, you know, you won't fail. You won't fall. Stay, keep those things strong. So stay strong in the word. Stay strong in prayer. Keep your spirit in a position that's ready, because what happens is when a pressure moment comes on, you can't in the pressure moment get ready. You see what I'm saying? You got to be ready. How many people miss opportunities in life because the opportunity comes and they're not ready? You know what I'm saying? Like, they really wanted that opportunity, but the opportunity came and they weren't prepared. You understand what I'm saying? Who was it? Mama Jean told, "Don't ever come to one of my meetings again without whatever instrument it was." Y'all remember that? Mama Jean told them, "Every time you come to one of my services, have that, because I might call on you and I want you to be ready." You see what I'm saying? So that, just if that's the case, like in that type of situation, you know, you're not able to plan out when a challenge arises. You don't plan that out. You never plan a moment of evil report, or you don't plan those things out. So you just have to be ready. So when they come, you know, a healing situation or whatever, you know, that's why we keep a steady diet of multiple different things, because trying to put together a list of healing scriptures in the midst of pain is harder to do. You see what I'm saying? Than if you already had it and you've been working it and it's in you and you got those certain ones that already bang, you know what I'm saying? So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, and then we'll go to one more place and close. These guys, they go, and if they know they're going to a hostile place to play, they'll go into the stadium or into the arena, turn the music off. I mean, not music, but they got crowd noise, and they make it as loud as possible, because I need to practice hearing my teammate, practice calling plays, practice all of that, where it's really loud, because you're not going to be able to hear out there. It's going to be, the crowd's going to be roaring, the crowd's going to be loud. You got to learn how to see the hand movements. You got to learn how to tap into that. And so they practice under a lot of loud noise to be ready for the game situation. You see what I'm saying? Where are we at? Ephesians chapter 6. All right, verse 10. "Finally, brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Let me say this. If somebody shot at a police officer that had a, what they call them things? In the car, bulletproof vest in the car, it's no good. Let me go put on my vest real quick. If he didn't have it on, he didn't have it on. You see what I'm saying? So this, put on have it on, have it ready, right? "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles and tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." Why? "That you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Brother Jerry Seville, "And having done all to stand, stand." Hallelujah. "That you may be able to withstand in the evil day." When is the evil day? What day on the calendar is the evil day? You don't know. But if you put on the whole armor of God, you're prepared and ready to stand whenever that day comes. You understand what I'm saying? You are prepared. Your spirit is strong. You got on the breastplate. You got on the helmet. You got your feet shod. You ready to go. So when that day come, I'm not, because I got my armor on. I'm ready. I'm ready for war. I've been practicing and preparing for this day. Amen. Let's go to one more scripture. We close. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we close. I hope that you have been helped. Thinking of Keith Moore. Thanks be to God. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be ready. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Be always abounding. Be always in a position that no matter what I face today, I'm ready for it. I'm taking ground today, but if I get faced with an army and I just got to hold my ground today, I'm ready to do that too. I'm ready for whatever. I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? Like if you know that you might go outside and you live in Kentucky and it might rain and it might be by the afternoon, it might be hot and sunny, and by the evening it might be snowing, then you gonna have in the car, you see what I'm saying, ready to go. You got your umbrella, you got your jacket, you got the t-shirt, you got a boots, your boots ready, like you ready for whatever. You prepared. Y'all women know you going on that trip. You got 3 days and you got 25 outfits. Why? Because you never know. We might go out to eat somewhere nice and we might go to. You prepare for whatever situation. That's how we want to be in the realm of the spirit. Prepare for whatever may come, because in this world we will have challenging days. We will have challenging times. But when you're prepared, you're clutch. You're going to perform. You're going to flow. You've been built for that moment. Like, I'm ready. I'm ready to hit the shot. I'm ready. Give me the ball. I got it. I've been practicing for this. I'm built for this moment. You've been built for this moment. Hallelujah. So we want to practice to perform in high pressure situations. Amen. 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 Amen.